Alright, Kibbutzai, good morning. Let's begin. We have in front of us today a dramatically beautiful and riveting Daf of Gemara. It's Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel, the Shir. Maseches is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas and Le'ezer ben Klonimus. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Nisham will have a complete and enduring refuah. Ezra Bosai is in the Zchus of a refuah Shalima. For Menachem Zev Halevi ben Chaya, who's undergoing major surgery this morning, and in the Zchus of a refuah Shalima for Esther Baschana Hemra. So we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all the neshamas that need an aliyah will have one, and all the cholim who need a refuah will enjoy one as well. All right, Bosse, so let's continue. So we left off the ubedinu. Actually, let's the olam kasavar. We're picking up on Beis and Medeis 2b, four lines up from the bottom. So remember, five lines up, excuse me. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So what we've begun to focus on now, Bosse, is the incredible yisod. We're trying to figure out, the Mishnah taught us that Dine Mamanis require a Beis Din of Shlosha. The Mishnah then went on to discuss Gzelos v'Chavalos. So we were wondering to ourselves, the Mishnah Gemara was wondering, why is it that the Mishnah has to break out all of these different cases? In other words, why not just go ahead and write Dine Mamanis and let Dine Mamanis include everything else? Why they need to go ahead and break out Gzelos v'chavalos, and plus the Gemara points out that there's something missing. What's missing? Hoda'os v'halva'os, cases concerning loans. So remember again, I'll say what the conclusion that the Gemara came up with yesterday was the idea that really the Mishnah is coming to teach me that although hoda'os and halva'os will require a basin of three people, nevertheless, they don't require mumchin. Remember, what we're going to get into today is that not all but a din of three are created equal. There are some bat din of three, which we'll call bat din of hedyotos, regular people, and there are some bat din that are made up of mumchin, that are made up of experts. So the Gemara is suggesting that when it says dine mamanis b'shlosha, shlosha means shlosha mumchin, three experts. Hoda'os and halva'os are not included in this list because hoda'os and halva'os do not require experts. To which the Gemara says, li'olam kasava ira parashios kasavkan, ubedinhu nami deliba'i nami mumchin. The truth is, you should require hoda'os and halva'os to have mumchin as well. So we'll say in cases of loans, you should require those batei din of three to have experts as well. So why don't we require it? V'hai delo ba'inon mumchin. So why don't we require experts? Mishum d'Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi will say, this is actually really quite amazing. Why don't we require mumchin in the case, ultimately, again, of Toda'as Valbaos? Because of Rabbi Chanina. Dam Rabbi Chanina, Tvar Torah, Echad Dinei Mamanas V'Echad Dinei Nefashos B'Jisha V'Chakira. So we'll say, in reality, and again, we'll get into all of this, but in reality, both Dinei Mamanas as well as Dinei Nefashos should require Jisha V'Chakira. So Dinei Mamanas is monetary law, Dinei Nefashos is capital law, capital offenses. Both should require Jisha V'Chakira. What Jisha V'Chakira? Look at the last Rashi on Beis Amud Beis. Jisha V'Chakira, Tzarech Livdok Esa'idim Be'eze Yom U'Be'eze Shahovo. Both say, Jisha V'Chakira means that it's not enough for witnesses to show up in Beis Din and give their testimony. Rather, what do we have to do? We have to cross-examine it, is the wrong word, but rather what we have to do is we have to ask them a series of questions to make sure that their information is correct. Like, for example, what was the date that you saw this? What time was it? And other factors that corroborate their testimony. That's Jisha V'Chakira. So Rabbi Chanina comes along and says, in reality, the same way we do Jisha V'Chakira in capital cases, we should also do it for Dinei Mamanis, top of Gimel. Shenamar Mishpat Echad Yelochem, because the Torah says that Rabbi said, there's one Mishpat, meaning there's one legal system, and that same legal system that requires Jisha V'Chakira by Dinei Nefashos, by capital cases, should require Jisha V'Chakira by Dinei Mamanis. Watch this. Umatam Amru Dinei Mamanis Lo B'Nei Jisha V'Chakira. So we'll say, so why is it that Chazal said that when it comes to testimony regarding monetary matters, that there is no drisha v'chakira? I both say, understand what this means. This means when this is show up in Beis Din, they say, we saw silver lend $10,000 to Reuven. Beis Din does not ask them a series of questions. Well, what time of the day was it? Where were you? They don't ask. There's no drisha v'chakira. Why not? Get ready for this. Kadesh lo tinol deles bifnei lovin. Because Chazal were concerned that if there was drisha v'chakira by Dinei Mamanis, we'll say, what's going to happen? Lenders will not want to lend money. Because they will say, if you require Jisha V'Chakira, that leaves the door open for what? For what? For human error. Because they will say, you could have a situation where witnesses testify regarding a certain event, and then what happens? When it comes time to give the testimony, then what? They forgot. They forgot. Nothing sinister, nothing. There's no like backstory. They just simply forgot. And the problem is, their little bit of human error, which is to be expected, will cost the Malbec, or potentially cost the lender, the ability to collect his loan. Take a look at Rashi. Third line down from the top, Shlotino Delas, Sheyimanu Melahavos, Shemayichbar. Because we'll say, what could happen? It could be that the borrower is going to deny the fact that he owes the money. Va'edim yitu, the witnesses will make a mistake. They won't remember all the details. Velote edusan mechuvenas, and therefore their testimony will not be exact. V'yafsid, and ultimately then, the malve, the lender, will lose. V'hachanami shemalo yimsa mumchen l'kol fuladin. Suppose say, so listen to this. So the Gemara suggests the following. In reality, so follow this progression. So in reality, all testimonies should be treated the same. Capital cases, financial cases should all be treated the same, which means what they're both saying. All witnesses should require jisha v'chakira, should require, again, thorough examination and cross-examination. And every Beis Din should be comprised of mumchen, of experts. However, Rabbi Hanina comes along and says that Chazal relaxed the laws by monetary law. Why? Because they were concerned that if you put too many requirements in place by monetary law, people won't lend money. Remember, again, we've said a number of times already, as it is, lending money is a not-for-profit venture for Jews. So already, again, I'm not only am I not making money, but by Pashtos, I'm losing money. I could have done something else with that money. So I'm losing it. But it's okay. It's not a loss because it's a mitzvah to lend money to another Jew. But if you're going to make it, if you're going to put obstacles in my way for collection, I'm not such a tzaddik. Therefore, again, what Rabbi Hanina is suggesting on both sides is the following. That the same way that we relax the standards for Jusha v'chakira, and we don't do that by witnesses for dinei mamonis, so too, even though we should require mumchin for dayonim by dinei mamonis, we relax those standards as well. And therefore, you could use any Beis Din, even a Beis Din of Gimel Hayot, those three regular guys, you don't need a Beis Din of mumchin. To which the Gemara says, Elame'ata, we'll say, this is really, every line is like a treasure. Elame'ata, listen to this. Well, okay, so follow this progression. So now you're telling me, I don't need Jusha v'chakira, and I don't need mumchin. So Rabbi says, so now what the Gemara is saying is that to adjudicate matters of monetary law, I can go ahead and I can get a Beis Din of three regular people. Okay, if that's the case, Elame'ata, to'u. We'll say, what happens if a Beis Din makes a mistake? We'll say, this is going to be a big discussion we're going to have in Sanhedrin, which is judicial liability. Judicial liability. What is the liability of a judge, or of a Beis Din, if they make a mistake? They objectively make a mistake. So we'll say, the halacha normally is that when judges make a mistake, again, I'm going to say in very overarching ways, but we'll get into the specifics, they are not liable. They're not liable. We'll say, why are they not liable? Because halacha essentially provides a measure of protection for every person who is operating in the capacity of his given profession. So for example, in halacha, if a doctor accidentally kills his patient, so there's absolutely no liability in that case. Because halacha understands that if the law doesn't protect the doctor, obviously if he's negligent, that's something else. In the scope of his work, no one's going to want to do it. Now obviously, if I'm a plumber and I do a heart transplant, and I go ahead and I kill the patient, I'm going to be liable, right? But again, if I'm acting in the capacity or in the scope of my legitimate field of work, there's protection. So halacha says, if you are a dayan and you're adjudicating a case and you make a mistake, the law will protect you. Now, what the recourse is, we'll discuss. But Lamaisa, the Gemara suggests the following. Now, both say, under normal circumstances, we say, who gets that protection? Who gets dayanic? Who gets judicial protection? Only who? Sanctioned judges, right? Or what we would call mumchin. But Lamaisa, now that you're telling me that in dine mamonis, even non-mumchin have the ability to serve, then what do we say? Then halacha Lamaisa, they should be protected by the law as well. If that's the case, tohu lo yishalmu. Shekin, the Gemara says, no. Kol shekin atanol dalas b'fnei lavin. We'll say, no, that's certainly not true. Why, says the Gemara? Because if there's no judicial liability, so on one hand, if I'm the lender, I'm happy that I could use a Beis Din of any three guys, right? Why? Because that makes it a bit easier for me to collect. On the other hand, if those three guys have no liability, I'm going to be very nervous to put my case before them. Why? Because they have no skin in the game. They have nothing to lose if they go ahead and they mess up the judgment. Therefore, the only way to ensure that they're going to do their job properly is halbosai, to create some level of liability for them. Yachi, if that's the case, says the Gemara, tarti katani, dine mamanes b'shlosha yotos, kazelos v'chavalos b'shlosha mumchim. So says the Gemara, in essence, then what you're telling me is the following, that the Mishnah is teaching me that dine mamanus, which also means regular cases of monetary law, can be adjudicated by three regular people. Gazelos v'chavalos, but cases of theft and injury, must be done with three experts. To which the Gemara says, "Va'od shlosha shlosha lamali." Question was asked yesterday after the shir, which is, why does the Mishnah have to break it up into shlosha shlosha? Why can't the Mishnah just go ahead and group everything together? The following situations all require a basin of three people. Why do you have to break it up? Stylistically, the Mishnah says, why do they need to break it up like that? Rather, says Rava, the Mishnah is coming to teach me two different constructs. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Excuse me, Rashi, thank you. Tarti katani. So we'll say it's almost right across in Rashi, about two lines down. Tarti katani. Matzi lemeimar dine mamanis. Dahainu hodas v'halvos b'shlosha koldu. Ugzeles v'chavalos b'gimel mumchin. Umishum dechalukin b'dineyan lo kalalinu b'chad klala. So we'll say ultimately again, I'm Rav Tarti katani mishum drabi chanina. Ultimately, the Mishnah is teaching me two different constructs because of Rabbi Chanina. Now look at that Rashi again. It's the second Rashi, Tarti Katani. Devadai, Gimel Ba'inon, the Erev Parshos Ksivkan, Omiyo Behajotos, Sagi, Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Vahachi Kamar, Dine Mamanis, Nahainu Haldaos, Vahalvaos, Bishlosha Yotos, Ugzelos Vahavalos, Bishlosha Mumkin. Oh, Rabbi will say now everything is beginning, planets are beginning to align. So Rabbi will say, let's go with what we know. Erev Parshios. Erev Parshios teaches us what? That pretty much all of the halachos that Torah teaches us regarding judicial proceedings are all put into a chalent of Parshas Mishpatim. They're all together, and they're all, to a certain degree, looks like mixed up, but they're mixed up by design. To teach you what? Whatever applies in one case applies in another case. Therefore, Torah will say, we learn that wherever you need a Beis Din, what do you need? What do you need? Three dayanim. Beis Din requires three dayanim, except when you don't. Meaning, we'll see that there are exceptions to that rule, but for now, for our purposes, you need three dayanim. So why does the Mishnah split up the cases of Dinei Mamanis and Gzelos Vechavalos? They both said to teach us that Halacha Lemaisa, Dinei Mamanis, which is general monetary law, only requires a Beis Din of three, but only a Beis Din of three hedyotos, three regular people. Why three regular people? The sheet of Rabbi Chanina. Chazal relaxed the standards for a Beis Din by Dinei Mamanis in order not to put additional stumbling blocks in front of lenders. However, by Gzelos v'chavalos, by cases of theft, by cases of bodily injury, you will require a Beis Din, but it will be a Beis Din of Gimel Mumchin, of three experts. Rav Acha bar Dravi Gamar, Rav Acha bar Dravi said the following. He said, Midoraisa chad nami kosher. So I say, he says something amazing. He says, in cases of halda'a and halva'a, right, in cases of loans, even one dayan is kasher to adjudicate the case. How do we know? Because the pasuk says, Shenemar, b'tzedek tishbot amisecho. Because the pasuk says, with tzedek, with righteousness, you shall judge your fellow. And that is a singular statement. Therefore, again, Rav Acha bar Dravi says, midoraisa, even one judge is enough. Take a look at Rashi again. Midoraisa chad nami kasher, b'halda'a v'halva, d'chsev tishbot, lashon yochid, ve'ein erev parashios kan, u'mas nisen vaday tarti katani kida amron. So we'll listen to this. So therefore, Rav Acha bar Dravi wants to say that really you only need one witness. What about the fact of Erev Parshios? Erev Parshios says that you need three witnesses in every case of judicial proceedings, to which Rav Acha bar Dravi doesn't hold of Erev Parshios. He does not hold that all of those laws are learned out from one another. Ela Mishum. So we'll say that's the case, that you only need one. So why did Chazal legislate that by Hoda'os v'Halva'os you need three? Midoraisa, you only need one. So why did Chazal say that by Dinei Mamanis you're going to need three? To which the Gemara says, listen to this. Ela mishum yoshvei kronos. We will say, in order to avoid yoshvei, what is yoshvei kronos? We just had this in the siyum, right? Look at Rashi. Gzer mishum yoshvei kronos. Tagrin she'inan bekiyem betiv dinin. So let's say, see, yoshvei kronos, we normally assume that this means the people who are just sitting around and doing nothing all day. But actually what he means over here refers to merchants. Shinim bekin yoshek rosh just means anyone who's not versed in the law. The yiskas achai v'yischai v'esazakai. And both say the concern, says Rav Acha bar Ika, Sabreid Rav Ika, is like this. Midaraisa, one judge could adjudicate monetary law. But what's the problem? The problem is, and again, you don't need mumchen, but the concern is if you just have one, that's vesting a lot of responsibility in the hands of one person. That person may not be well versed in the law, and therefore what? He may end up ruling incorrectly. To which the Gemara says, okay, therefore Rav Ika says, get three judges. So I don't understand. And if you get three, so at the... Excuse me, there aren't three Yoshei Kronos in the world? I'm saying, like, why does increasing the number of judges take away the concern of getting Yoshei Kronos? To which the Gemara says, because Efshar de Lesbu Chad de Gamir. I said, this is amazing. Because if you get three Jews together, it's impossible that one of them is not a Talmud Chacham. Now, of course, everyone thinks they're the Gadol Hador, but I'm saying it's impossible that out of three, there must be at least one. And I was about to say, first, you have to understand, not everybody is, it's not like people are lining up to do this kind of stuff, right? Because remember, to take the responsibility of ultimately sitting on a Beis Din as a business, the Gemara assumes the statistical probability is, with one, you may just be getting a Yoshei Kronos. But with three, you're going to get at least the one who's going to be able to lead the rest of the group because he's going to know what he's talking about. Elameato. But if that's the case, Tohu lo yishamu. So we'll say again, same idea as we said before. If that's the case, if that is the case, that halacha lemaisa, again, we are allowing ultimately again three regular people, even if two of them are Yoshvei Kronos, as long as one of them knows what he's talking about, to adjudicate the case, they should have judicial protection. And therefore, in the event that they rule erroneously, so the litigant should have no recourse against them, so the Kriyat Shmona Gemara says, no, kol shekein d'nefishei Yoshvei Kronos. It will say, if there's no liability, then everyone comes out of the framework in order to go ahead and judge such a case. In other words, it will say, weeds out people who are not ro'i to go ahead and sit on a Beis Din is the notion of judicial liability. If I know that I'm going to be liable, I'm not going to want to go ahead and take on this responsibility. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, ma'ika bein rava l'rav acha brei dravika. So we'll say, so what exactly is the nafkamina between Rav Acha brei dravika? Now we'll say, now there's an obvious nafkamina. Rava holds that midoraisa you need three dayanim. Rav Acha brei dravika says, midoraisa, how many dayanim do you need? One, but midrabanan you need three. What the Gemara is asking here is, so what's the practical nafkamina? I understand what the intellectual nafkamina is. Rav is saying midaraisi you need three. Rav Acha brei dravika saying midaraisi you only need one, but midrabanan you need three. Bipashtos in bemitzios, they're saying the same thing. They both say you need three dayanim. So what's the nafkamina? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. Ika beinayu. So we'll say the nafkamina between them is a statement of Rav, is a statement of Shmuel, which I will say we are going to get into a little bit later, which is Shmuel holds that any two people who adjudicated a case, in other words, if you have two people who acted in the capacity of a Beis Din and they adjudicated a case, they are called the Beis Din Chatzuf. They are called ultimately again a Chutzpedik Beis Din. But I will say, even though they're called the Chutzpedik Beis Din, nevertheless, what? Their rulings stand. Their rulings stand. So ex post facto, b'di'eved, Shmuel is machshir the rulings of a two-person Beis Din. So it says the Gemara, the Rava Lesley, the Shmuel, the Rav Acha, Rav Ika, Islay, the Shmuel. So ultimately, again, Rava does not hold of the position of Shmuel. Rava doesn't hold of Shmuel, and Rav Acha, Rav Ika does hold of Shmuel. So we'll say Rava, who holds that midaraisa you need three, is going to say that a basin of two, their judicial rulings do not stand even b'di'eved. But Rav Acha, Rav Ika says midaraisa you only need one. So if midaraisa need one, certainly b'di'eved, the ruling of two on a Beis Din will work. Good. We'll say, let's go weiter. So we'll say, it's amazing how much, just from one block, we've already gained so much. So we've already seen, number one, Erev Parshios, all of the halachos concerning, we'll call it monetary law, kind of written together. Therefore, we learn out from one to the other. We learn out that, again, every situation needs a Beis Din of three. The fundamental machlokes is, which types of cases require a Beis Din of mumchin, which types of cases require a Beis Din even of hedyotos. We see the concept of Rabbi Hanina, that when it comes to monetary law, there is no question that certain normative judicial standards and practices are relaxed Why? In order not to place additional stumbling blocks or reasons to hesitate in front of prospective lenders. We see now also a fundamental machlokus between Rava and Rav Acha ben Ravika. What is the deoraisa obligation for a beis din? Rava saying 3, Rav Acha ben Ravika saying 1, nafkimina with the shita of Shmuel. Good. Nezek v'chatzi nezek. So we'll say the next case in the Mishnah was nezek and chatzi nezek. Nezek means damages, right? Full damages. Chatzi nezek means half damages. So we'll say again, remember, just you remember this from our Baba Kama days. So nezek means nezek shalim, right? Complete damage, which could be in a variety of different cases. Chatzi nezek on both sides, either by a tam, first time offender, an animal injures someone, or for that matter, tsroros, kicking up pebbles and accidentally breaking something. So again, both of those the Mishnah said require a basin of 3. Says the Gemara, nezek hanu chavalim. I don't understand. Nezek damages Rabosai is the same thing as chavalos, meaning chavalos and nezek means the same thing. They both mean personal damages. So why does the Mishnah state them separately? Mishum dekabai lemisna chatzin nezek. Oh, because Rabosai, since the Mishnah wanted to dafka put out the case of chatzin nezek, half damages, so you know, again, from Baba Kama days, chatzin nezek and nezek always go together. Therefore, again, the Mishnah chooses to group them together as well, even though it's a shtickle repetitive. So the Gemara says, chatzin nezek nami, but I don't understand. We'll say half damages is also what? Is also damages. So why isn't, meaning, again, why do I need a separate grouping? To which the Gemara says, Tana mamona v'katani knasa. Oh, we'll say because the Mishnah is talking about two different categories. One is a category of mamon, and one is a category of knasa. We'll say, remember again, we spoke about this extensively in our Baba Kama days. There are two different types of monetary payments that exist in halacha. You could pay mamon, or you could pay knas. You could pay a monetary payment or a penalty payment. We'll say, how do you know which one is which? So very simple. A monetary payment usually corresponds directly to the damage caused, versus knas penalty payments are usually just some type of biblically arbitrary number. Like, we'll get into examples of this. The Gemara suggests, chatzi nezek, half damages, is a knas. Is a penalty, which also makes sense because half damages is irrespective of the actual amount of damage you've done. You're only paying half. I'm only paying half. I caused twice as much damage as I am paying for. So Elamai, the Gemara says, that's a knas. That's a penalty. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to talk about cases of mamon and cases of knas. Honey, Chalaman Damra Pal Ganiska Knasa. Oh, I will say, this is so beautiful. It's taking us back to our Baba Kama past. That works well according to the opinion who says that Chatzin Nezek is a knas. El Mandamar Palganiska Mamona, my Ikalina. We'll say, remember we saw this machlokas, but according to Mandamar, it says that Chatzi Nezek is Mamon. It's a monetary payment, it's not Knas. So we'll say, if that's the case, why is it included separately in the Mishnah? It's just repetitive. Ella, Aidi de Kaboy Lemisna Tashlume Kevel, Vitashlume Arba Vechamisha de Mamon. So we'll say, turn the page, de Mamon. Sheino Mishtalim Beroshu. So we'll say, since the Mishnah wanted to include cases of kefel, kefel means double payment, arba v'chamisha means the 4 and 5 times penalty payment. If you steal and slaughter, you steal and shecht, an ox, a cow, or a sheep. So we'll say, these types of monetary payments are called mamon she'ino mishtalim barosh. What does it mean, mamon she'ino mishtalim barosh? Take a look at the top Rashi, Gimel Amud Beis, she'ino mishtalim barosh, she'mishtalim yoser min hakeren. We'll say any time. So mamon she'ino mishtalim barosh means money, or I should say payments, that are above and beyond the principal. So arba v'chamisha kefel are mamon she'ino mishtalim barosh because you are paying more than the actual principal. V'chatzinez, I'm refinishing Rashi. V'chatzinez mishtalim pachos min hakeren barosh. Haynu keren d'chsev v'shilim osu barosho. So we'll say tana. So since the Mishnah is already talking about what kefel and arba v'chamisha, which are forms of payment that are more than the principal, Tana Nami Chatzi Nezek, De Mamon Shena Mishtalim Berosh. So therefore, I will say the Mishnah also includes Chatzi Nezek. Why? Because it's also an example of a monetary payment that is not, that in this case, it's less than the principal. Va'aydi Dekabari Lemisna Chatzi Nezek, Tana Nami Nezek. And once we're already stating Chatzi Nezek, half damages, so the Mishnah also includes Nezek. Fine, so I will say, so what the Gemara essentially answers is stylistic. Informationally, I did not need to list Chatzi Nezek separately because it could have been learned from the other statements of the Mishnah. But stylistically, once we're already stating certain things, i.e. monetary payments that do not correspond to the principle of the item that was damaged, so therefore we're going to include all of those cases, which includes Chatzi Nezek as well. Good. Says the Gemara. Shlosha minala. Suppose I ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו. So we're going a little bit out of order here. So the Gemara says, you know, after we've already established that you need three dayanim for a beis din, so the Gemara now goes back and says, okay, shlosha minala. Now we're going to drill down into the kishkas a little bit. So where do I know, from where do I know that I require three dayanim for a beis din? The Tana Rabbanon, because we'll say the rabbis thought, V'nikra balabayis elo Elohim. So what happens? The pasuk says that the balabayis, right, the litigant, will come close, will approach the Elohim. I will say, in this case over here, Elohim does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it means the judge. It means the judge. Harikan Echad. So we'll say, what you're going to see, what the Gemara is going to do over here is point out that the word Elohim is used three times within the same section. The Gemara is going to derive from that that the triple usage of Elohim teaches me that what? That whenever you're adjudicating a case, the basic judicial unit is made up, comprised of three judges. So it's like, okay, fine. So the Nikra Balabai says Elohim. Harikan Echad. That's one Elohim. Ad Elohim Yavol Devar Shnehem. Right? And to the judge, both of their matters will come. Hare Kan Shnayim. That's two Elohims. Judges, not gods, right? Judges. Asher Yashion Elohim. Hare Kan Shlosha. Right? The judge will find liable. This is three. Divrei Rabbi Yoshiya. So what's Rabbi Yoshiya? So therefore again, Elohim is mentioned three times. The three time mention of Elohim teaches me, also, and this is all in the same context, teaches me that a basic basin requires three. Okay? That's Rabbi Yoshiya. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, listen to this, this is really amazing. Rabbi Yonasan says, Rishon Tchila Ne'emar. No. Rabbi Yonasan says that you cannot go ahead, see what we're going to see over here, is Rabbi Yonasan says, you can't learn anything out from the, are we out of coffee? Is that, coffee's done? Okay, sorry. So, okay. I'm gonna bring my A game now that the coffee's out. Okay, so it says, Rabbi Yonasan Omer. Right, so Rabbi Yonasan says the following. I'll be honest, it says, that's a major accomplishment. What? How many cups is that? 85 cups. Good. All right, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, let's go back there. So Rabbi Yonasan says the following. So he says, Rishon Tchila Ne'emar. Rabbi Yonasan says that the first Elohim cannot be used to learn anything. The first Elohim cannot be used for anything. Why not, Rabosai? Because he says, Ve'ein Darshin Trilos. Rabosai, this is actually quite fascinating. I'm going to spend some time on this today. Ein Darshin Trilos means, Rabosai, that when the Torah says something for the first time, you can't learn anything out from that, meaning you can't use that for a drasha. Why? Because that's there for informational purposes. That's there to teach me a concept. So therefore, once it teaches me a concept, it cannot be used for additional drushos. I will say, just to understand, what Rabbi Yonasan is saying is this is an exegetical principle. That this is like one of the midos through which you dash in the Torah, in darshan trilos. So, first time it's stated, you can't go ahead and learn something out from it. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Vein darshan trilos. So therefore, what do you have according to Rabbi Yonasan? Ela ada Elohim yadvol dvar shneim hare kan echad. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the first pasuk or the first Elohim is taken off the table. Because that just teaches me the concept of Beis Din. So number one is taken off the table. What does that leave him with, Rabbi Yonasan? That leaves him with Ela ada Elohim yavol shneim hare kan echad. Asher yashin Elohim hare kan shneim. Rabbi Yonasan therefore is left with two more psukim that both say Elohim. Wonderful. That leaves him with how many dayanim for a Beis Din? Two, but it's not a problem. Ve'in Beis Din Shakol. We'll say everyone knows that you cannot have a Beis Din of equal numbers. Now we're going to debate this as well. You can't have a Beis Din of even numbers. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yonasan has two Elohims, right? Two words, two Elohims, which tells me two judges for the Beis Din. I can't have a two-judge Beis Din, and therefore what? Mosifin alein od echad hare kan shlosha. Therefore, you add on one more judge, you have three judges. So both say Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan are both agreeing to the same principle, which is what? That the basic unit for a Beis Din is going to have to be three judges. Their machlokes is how to learn it out. Rabbi Yoshiya darshins it from the three mentions of Elohim in the Psukim. Rabbi Yonasan says, listen, I can't darshin that first Elohim because that's to teach me the concept of Beis Din, of judicial systems. Therefore, I'm left with two, but it's okay. You can't have a Beis Din of two. Therefore, by definition, you have to add on one. So I get two judges from the Psukim, one judge intuitively or logically. So Neima bidarshin tchilos kamiflagi. Demar saber darshin tchilos, demar saber in darshin tchilos. So we'll say, so the Gemara says, it would appear that the machlokes Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonasan is rooted in what? In darshin tchilos. Do we go, can we go ahead and make a drasha on a pasuk, based on a pasuk, I should say based on a concept, when it appears the first time in the Torah? Can you make a drasha based on a first time appearance of a concept or not? Mar Savar Darshan Trilos. So Rabbi Yoshia holds yes, therefore he darshins the first Elohim. And what? Umar Savar in Darshan Trilos. And Rabbi Yonasan says, no, you can't. You can't. Therefore, he can't darshan the first Elohim. So we'll say, seems to be a straightforward exegetical machlokes. So the Gemara says, no. Yichuli Alma in Darshan Trilos. So we'll say, oh, everyone holds that what? You can't darshan Trilos, which means that the first time a concept appears in the Torah, it's there for informational purposes. You can't darshan anything extra from it. So therefore, again, if that's the case, then where does Rabbi Yoshia get his ability? So we'll say, one thing is clear, which is what? Rabbi Yoshia is darshaning three Elohims. Three Elohims. If everybody holds in darshan Trilos, then what? That first Elohim should be off the table. So how does he darshan the first one? Armelech Rabbi Yoshia, imkei namar krav, v'nikra valabayis ela shofet. Oh. We'll say, Rabbi Yoshia says, if the Torah didn't want me to darshan that first Elohim, it would have just said, v'nikra valabayis ela shofet. To the judge. Meaning, there's a simpler word to use for a judge than Elohim. Use the word shofet. My Ela Elohim. So therefore, again, I will say, why does the Torah Davka use the word Elohim over here? Because I will say, it wants to make it symmetrical with the words that are used the two next times as well. Why does it want to make it symmetrical with the two other psukim? In order to, what I will say, in order to teach you that these need to be darshaned as a unit. My Ela Elohim. Why does it use the same word Elohim as appears in the next two psukim? In other words, I will say, it could have just said, if Torah didn't want you to darshan it, it could have just said shofet the first time. The fact that it makes it textually symmetrical to the next two times tells you, says what, Rabbi Yoshia, that the Torah wants you to look at these three psukim as what? As a unit. Let's look at them as a unit together. Shema mina lebinyana, Rabbi Yonasan will say, lishna da'alma nakit, ki da'amri inshi. So what's Rabbi Yonasan says, no, don't read too much into the use of the word Elohim. Rather, the Torah is just using a word as people normally speak. Because what do people say? Kidami inshi, mandi isledina, likrav legabe daino. Whoever goes ahead and has a matter to adjudicate, he should go before the dayanim. So I'll say ultimately again, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, it's in where the lines get short, about four lines in the Gabe Dayana, Eitzel Dain Haragil, below Eitzel Hedyot. So I'll say the only thing that Elohim or Elohim does connote is a more experienced judge. So if you should go to someone with experience, but the idea, says Rabbi Yonasan, is that you can't go ahead and darshan it. Rabbi Yoshia, Lesley Bezdin Nota. So we'll say, I don't understand something. See, it sounds like over here that Rabbi Yoshia needs to darshan the three Elohims in order to get to a three-person Bezdin. But the truth is, you don't really need three Elohims. Why? Because we'll say, as long as you have two Elohims, what does that teach me? That gives me two Dayanim. And what? You can't have a Bezdin of two. Bezdin has to be unequal, right? Bezdin has to go ahead and be an odd number. So we'll say, so why does Rabbi Yoshia need the Tash and the three Elohim? Does he not subscribe to the idea that Lesle Bezdin Nota, that you have to have Rabbi Yoshia, you have to have an unequal Bezdin, you have to have an odd number Bezdin? Vatanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Shabbi Yosef, Lili Omer, Ma Tamud Lomar, Lintos, Achareis, Lintos, or Achare Rabim, Lahatos. So we'll say, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Lintos, to lean? Achare Rabim, Hatos, you have to lean towards the majority. Hatora Amra, you have to make for yourself, Rabbi Yosef, what? A Bezdin that is able to lean. What does it mean, a Bezdin that's able to lean? An odd-numbered Bezdin. So what's what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that even Rabbi Yosef, even for argument's sake, if you were unable to darshan that first Elohim, even if you were unable to darshan that first Elohim, nevertheless, they only left you with two, you would still end up with a three-person Bezdin. Why? Because it will say the Torah itself commands us that we have to have what we call a leaning Bezdin. It will say a leaning Bezdin means a Bezdin that's capable of achieving and a majority opinion, which could only be done ultimately with an odd-numbered Bezdin. To which the Gemara says, Savlak Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, it will say, because watch this. Rabbi Yoshia is like Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda hold? This is amazing. Da'amar, Shivim. Oh, it will say, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, there is such a thing as an even number Bezdin. What's the example of even our Beis Din? This Narabos, we had this in our Mishnah. It's the opening Mishnah of the Masechta. Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa Shal Shivim Ve'echad. The Sanhedrin Agadol Rabosei had 71 judges. Rabbi Huda Omer Shivim. Rabbi Huda says, no, it had 70 judges. Shabosei, you see over here that what? That there is an opinion out there that says that you can have an even numbered Beis Din. After you have Rabbi Huda going on record as saying that the Beis Din Agadol, the high court, was made up of 70 judges. Shabosei, it could be that Rabbi Yoshia holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you can have an even numbered Beis Din, which is why Rabbi Yoshia Dafka needs to dash in three Elohims in order to teach, or Elohims, in order to teach you that you need a three person Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, no, Emar Deshamas Leid Rabbi Yehuda Besanhedri Gedola, Dechsivi Kroy. I will say, maybe it's different. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds that the Beis Din HaGadol has 70. Why, Rabbi Yehuda? Because there I have a pasuk. Right there, I have a pasuk. I will say, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Baruch Hu tells Moshe to assemble 70 men. Now, I will say, now the machlokis, of course, the, in terms of deciding how big the Sanhedrin HaGadol is, it 70 or 71? All depends on what Rabbi Yehuda says. When Hashem Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu gather 70 men, is Moshe part of the 70, or is Moshe in addition to the 70? So, the right, we learn it says there's enough nafkamina between that is the Sanhedrin HaGadol 70 or 71? So I will say, even if you say that Rabbi Huda holds it 70, so who's to say that Rabbi Huda holds that that's a general statement that you could have even numbered Beis Din, but they didn't. Maybe ultimately that's just the din by what? By the Sanhedrin, because I have a pasuk there. The Shar Beis Din HaMisham Esleh, would Rabbi Huda hold that by any other Beis Din? V'chi Tema Lo Shna. Maybe you'll say, yeah, Rabbi Huda doesn't make the difference between the Sanhedrin HaGadol and any other Beis Din. Bless you. And Rabbi Huda actually paskins that a Beis Din can actually be an odd number. An even number. But we learned in the Mishnah, Smichas Zekenim V'arifas Egla B'shlosha. That I will say the Smichas Zekenim. Remember, what was the case of Smichas Zekenim? This was the actual giving of the Smicha. This was the Par Ha'elam Davar Min Atzibor. That if the Sanhedrin ruled erroneously and they have to bring a carbon, they have to do smicha on that karban, or arifas egla, the egla arufa. Rabbi say all of these cases are done with a basin of shlosha. Divi Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Huda Omer, bichamisha. Rabbi Huda says you need five. Va'aminon. And we said, my time at Rabbi Huda. Rabbi say, why does Rabbi Huda require a basin of five individuals? To which the Gemara says, v'samchu shnai. Because Rabbi say, Rabbi Huda darshan is the pasuk. Pasuk says, v'samchu. They will place their hands. Samchu is plural. Minimum of plural is two. Zikne, the elders. Minimum of elders is two. Ve'ein Beis Din Shakel. So what's saying? Rabbi Huda says you can't have an even Beis Din. Therefore, what? Mosif and Alein Odecha. Therefore, you have to add another one. Hare Kan Hey. Ultimately, again, we have five. So what's, what do you see from here? You see from here that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the Sanhedrin HaGadol was how large? 70 people. Even that apparently was only a din by the Sanhedrin HaGadol based on a pasuk. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu appoint 70 men. But that's the exception, that's not the rule. We've seen other cases, Rabbi Huda goes out of his way to what? Rabbi Huda goes out of his way, Allah HaLamayisa, to go out and say, a Bezin has to be an uneven number. To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshia, Adifa Mid Rabbi Huda. The truth is, Rabbi Yoshia's opinion of Osei, is even more established than Rabbi Huda. How so? Dilu Rabbi Yoshia b'Sanhedrin Gadol the less lot. I will say because Rabbi Huda doesn't hold of an uneven Beis Din. Rabbi Huda doesn't require an odd numbered Beis Din by the Sanhedrin Gadol. Bishar Beis Din Islay, but by other Batei Din, he does require for the Beis Din to be uneven. Rabbi Yoshia Bishar Beis Din Nami Lestay. What Rabbi Yoshia could hold that even in other Batei Din, you would not need it. Ve'ela Hailintos my Avilei. So I will say, so if that's the case, what does he require? What does he do with this phrase, Rahai Lintos? What does that come to teach me? From the Pasuk, Lintos, what does that come to teach me? Mokim la b'dinei nefashas. He will use that to teach me that what? That lemaisa, again, you need netia by dinei nefashas. Now we will explain this in greater depth. For now, take a look at Rashi. B'dinei nefashas, shetekayim bo hatiyascha letova api echad kidam ramastisim, ve'ez vi'i havizugos leka atiya b'vachos. Listen to this. Salocha lemaisa, he teaches me to learn that at least in cases of dinei nefashas, I will say at least in cases of capital law, I require ultimately an odd Beis Din in order that there could be lintos. But I will say, he would have to say that lemaisa in cases of dine mamanis, you would not require an odd number of bays. And so both say, we see over here another fundamental machlokes that is unfolding right in front of us, which is the nature of odd number. We always, before you learn Sanhedrin, you take it for granted that everybody agrees that's what? That you require an odd numbered Beis Din. Because logically, now what do we begin to see? We begin to see that that's machlokis. And Rabbi, amazingly enough, what is that machlokis rooted in? The machlokis is really rooted in the Sanhedrin. Because everyone agrees, well, I should say not everybody agrees. Machlokis, was the Sanhedrin odd or even? See, if you have the Sanhedrin is odd, that doesn't sound make sense. If you have the Sanhedrin is odd numbered, right? Then Lemaisa, again, we understand that that becomes the Beis Din paradigm, and all but the Din are odd numbered. If, however, you hold that the Sanhedrin HaGadol is even numbered, then the question is what to do with that. Does that set a precedent for other even numbered Bate Din, or do I say that that's the exception, but the rule is still going to be Lintos? Okay, so that's the Machlokes that's still unfolding. So the Gemara goes right there. Elo Hotis Nashnaim Omru Zakai Bechor Omer Chayiv, Echor Omer Chayiv Zakai. You both say, yeah, we learn in the Mishnah later on that what? If you have two judges who say Zakai, that the individual is innocent, and one says that he's Chayiv, Zakai, you go after the majority, and he's innocent. Shnaim umrim chayiv. Two judges say that he's chayiv. Echad umrim zakai. One says that he's innocent. Chayiv, you go after the majority. Neima delok Rabbi Yosha. Shabbos said, this Mishnah sets up that a Beis Din looks like what, Shabbos say? That a Beis Din looks like three. That you need an odd-numbered Beis Din. So perhaps this does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yosha. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Loima delok Rabbi Yosha. Dik Rabbi Yosha. Kevan dishlishi mikra yalif lehu. V'lam yishum no. So both say this is amazing. What the Gemara suggests is the following: that maybe according to Rabbi Yosha, get ready for this because this is dramatically life altering. Maybe Rabbi Yosha will say who learns all three dayanim from Elohim, right? Rabbi Yosha holds that the concept of three dayanim is a daraisa. Maybe Rabbi Yosha actually holds that not only do you need odd, but you need unanimity. You need it to be unanimous. In other words, we'll say. Because I understand the following. You see, the other drushos, and this is really amazing, the other drushos, suppose say, that learn three, how do they learn three? Remember, let's say you're a Bionason. You're a Bionason. How love I should be Zohar to be a Bionason. But let's say for the next 30 seconds, you're going to be a Bionason. So I'm a Bionason, right? Torah says Elohim three times. What's the problem? Can you dash in all three? No. Why? What does Rabbi Yonasan say? Ain't darshan trilos. You can't dash in the first time anything appears in the Torah. So you have how many Elohims? Two. So that gives me a Beis Din of? Two. But Rabbi Yonasan says, no need to fear. I still know I need a Beis Din of three. Why? Why? Because again, you can't have, because you need an odd numbered Beis Din to adjudicate a case. Rabbi Yosha doesn't hold to that. Rabbi Yosha's model, the way I know that I need a Beis Din ultimately of three is based on a pasuk. The Gemara entertains a fascinatingly riveting Havamina. That maybe since Rabbi Yosha is dashening that you need a Beis Din of three from the Psukim, and he doesn't just come to it intuitively, maybe when he requires three to be unanimous in their decision makings. And maybe he holds that a Beis Din of three only works if all three are on the same page. But if you can't reach unanimity, then there is no Psak Beis Din, to which the Gemara says, no. Akbil Tan Rabbi Yosha, my sila bakava chomer medina nefashas. Rabbi Yosha will learn it out. Rabbi Yosha will learn out monetary law from a kava chomer of capital law. How so? Umadine nefashas dechamiri amarachmana basaruba. So if it comes to capital cases, which are obviously much more intense, much more chomer than monetary law, the Torah says what? That you go after the majority. Dine mamonis lo kol shekain. All the more so, what Rabbi said, the more so when it comes to dine mamonis, or the more so when it comes to monetary law, which obviously is not this chomer, you will go ahead and go after the majority as well. So we'll stop over here for today, but where we leave off effectively is a fundamental machlok is Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonasan, where we learn out the three judge minimum for a Beis Din. Rabbi Yosha dashing Elohim three times, Rabbi Yonasan only dashing two, but understanding intuitively that you need the third. They arrive at the same place, and at the end of the day, we come to also the same conclusion. No one requires Beis Din unanimity. If capital cases can be judged by majority, then monetary cases can be judged by majority as well. And you're at the Shem of the day we turn around on tomorrow. Shkoyach.